Welcome to season three of the Blunderbus, Australia's best bus on which to talk about leadership failure. My name is Edward Vaughan. Join me as I travel far and wide on my special bus, the Blunderbus, and have honest conversations with great leaders about some of their greatest leadership disasters. On the Blunderbus, we think it's possible to learn more from your moments of failure than your moments of success, if you know the magic secret. And we also know that failure can be fun, especially other people's. If you've been enjoying the Blunderbus, maybe you'd like to share the podcast with a friend. Why blunder alone when you can blunder with a friend? Today's episode is sponsored by City to City and their Revitalize Australia project. It's an ambitious project to see health and life breathe back into thousands of churches all around this country, churches that are not reaching their gospel potential. So go to citytocityaustralia.org.au and click on the Revitalize Australia tab to find out more. So today, the Blunderbus has travelled all the way to Melbourne, and I'm speaking to Julianne Laird, Director of Missional Engagement for City to City Australia and Canon for Church Planting in the Anglican Diocese of Melbourne. Welcome onto the bus, JA.
Hi, Ed. Good to see you.
Yeah, and it's a great day to be in Melbourne, an earthquake day.
It's one disaster to the next.
And it's an amazing thing that even Premier Dan Andrews lets the Blunderbus just drive straight in, you know. He's a big fan, did you know? He's a big fan.
You could be here for a while in Victoria.
If I could get him on, it could be for a very long time. Hey, Julianne, you sent me a little meme, which is about, you know, how much you've been learning from your mistakes, which means that you're the first blunder genius that we've had. You've been learning so much from so many mistakes. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I remember thinking in my 20s, oh, it'd be so good to be in my 50s and 60s and not actually make so many massive mistakes. It is very disappointing getting to this age and realizing you're still making quite a lot of mistakes.
Well, I think it's great, you know, the new and creative ways we find to screw up all over again, you know. Hey, what's your blunder, Julianne? What do you want to talk about today?
There's always lots to talk about, and it's good to confess because it's a very humbling experience.
Yeah, good for the soul.
and good to actually have to keep pointing back to Jesus in all of this. Basically, mine is just the realization I had to come to through quite a few mistakes of just how much power you have in relationships. Yeah. And particularly this is probably for me, because I started out doing university ministry and you sort of start off at the same sort of level and age and then you keep getting older, but the uni students stay the same age. And so there just ends up over time being quite an age difference.
They become the age of your children.
Yeah, eventually they do. So what I had to work out was actually I'm developing a power over people just because of my age and experience. And So I think mostly I've always related to people as friends. So you try and be on the same level. I think partly that's being an Australian, so you don't want to have the tall poppy syndrome. You're just trying to relate equally as Christian brothers and sisters. And I guess there was a moment where I realized actually people can't say no to me, like, because they realize, you know, Julianne's asked me to do this. I don't agree with it, but I need to do it because Julianne's asked. And also culturally at university, we had a lot more people from Asian backgrounds and they're just much more respectful and working out, well, what do you do if somebody asks you to do something? And, in fact, it sort of got around at one point where it said, well, God loves you and Julianne has a plan for your life. And, I'm good at, I feel like God has actually gifted me in being good at seeing what people are good at and where they could end up. And, you know, I somehow have got quite a good picture of around Australia in terms of what the needs are and stuff like that. So, and in fact, we used to run this big evangelistic thing at uni called Jesus Week. And I discovered that quite a few people thought it was Julianne Week because we used to call it J Week. So they thought the whole week was just doing what I wanted them to do. And I'm going, oh my goodness.
This is genuine messianic.
How did we come to this? Oh, gosh.
Hey, Julianne, so, when you realised that you had this power, like, honestly, how did that feel? Did it feel good? Just a little bit?
No.
Not at all?
Nah.
No?
Because it just realised, like, I'm going, who the heck am I to have any power? Like, I'm just a... I kind of don't know what I'm doing. You shouldn't listen to me. So that was actually my first response. I go, no, don't in any way give me any power. I have no idea what I'm doing.
This is a slightly confusing message though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
And was there an incident, J.A.? Was there an actual incident?
Yeah, I was a... sort of early 30s where someone just basically said, you know that people find it really hard to say no to you. And I just went, what? Why? Like, And I think I had just always thought we were in a conversation, just tossing out ideas. Like, I think also as you get better at your job and you're more persuasive and you know how people operate a bit more, like you just end up coming across probably a bit more confident and sure of what you're doing, even though that might not be the reality.
Yeah. You know, given that saying to people, you know, don't listen to me ever, you know, like what did you do?
Well, what I had to start doing was actually saying to people, starting off often conversations, you don't have to agree with me, you don't have to do this. We're just like sort of setting the tone in terms of what this conversation was.
Yes.
And so, yeah, like I guess I've worked out like I'm pretty persuasive as well. And actually,
you are noted as an evangelist, Julianne. Yeah. And that's the kind of about being persuasive, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. And so, yeah, things that I might not have thought was a big deal or, yeah. People take it as being a lot more powerful than you in that situation. So
yeah.
I guess it's just being aware as you get older, just what's going on in a relationship and understanding them a lot more and also just trusting God in it in terms of like if I might have a good idea, I'm really sold on it, I want people to get in on it, it really doesn't matter. Who cares? Like,
yeah.
Actually, if I've sought God and asked him on to go ahead, you know, he's going to make it happen. It doesn't have to be this powerful bulldozer of a person trying to make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose this is about, in a way, like stewarding influence, isn't it? Because you become a highly influential person. You're dealing, especially in your context then, with university students who are at a formative stage in life and don't know what who they are and what they're on about and so on. And so, yeah, there is an enormous power of influence really there, isn't there?
Yeah. Also, and we've seen it, like the Mars Hill stuff, just even in terms of the counselling situation, if people being vulnerable to you, like I think we are more aware of that these days, unless I'm just catching up what other people already knew. But, yeah, I think... we're much more aware these days of what power imbalances there are being particularly aware of that. But I still get surprised. Like I still get quite shocked. I don't know why.
What is it that surprises you?
Well, just that people would see me in a powerful position, whereas I still feel very... humbled as a leader.
Yes.
Just because I know my own weaknesses and know just how much I rely on God. It doesn't feel about me as such. Yeah.
You know, I think this is a really interesting point because I think a lot of people, especially, you know, clergy and people in ministry positions, don't personally feel very powerful because, you know, they often feel they don't have the power to do as much as they would like to do. And yet people in their congregations or whatever see them as extremely influential and powerful figures. And I think that's often the mismatch that we kind of labor with. Yeah. So Julianne, I think you've talked about what you do now Anything else that you've kind of learned about power and how and influence and how it should be used?
Power and influence is a fragile thing, because if it's based on you, you're just fragile as a human being. You know, if it's about reputation, then that can go at any point. Like, yes. And I think if our power and influence is based in Christ, that's fine. Do you know what I mean? In terms of he's the one who can change things and do things, and not being reliant on our power and influence to make things happen, but actually to be really reliant on God and what he can do. And, yeah, having a more humble posture, I guess, in terms of with people and, yeah, really seeing the impact of your words over the long term and, yeah, like people really do listen. having a more humble spirit is a good thing.
And finally, Julianne, what have you learned about failure?
I think it's been nice to reflect on it, actually. Thanks, Ed, for making me reflect on this.
It's my pleasure to publicly humiliate you and give you that opportunity.
You can learn from others, but actually each person is different. Like, I will do things differently to other people just because of who I am, how I've been shaped. And all your interactions with other people are all different. So every person I speak to has a very different story. They are impacted by things differently. And I think it's real wisdom to know how to navigate. And it's God's wisdom that we need, because actually he knows their story. He knows us. And so I think probably what's happened, even though I'm disappointed I'm not more able to not make as many mistakes as I do, I think you become kinder on yourself in terms of the mistakes you make, because you just realize, I'm actually never going to be perfect and not make mistakes. This is just part of the journey of making mistakes and learning from that. The learning you may not ever use again, that's okay, but actually it's the reflecting back. It's humbling yourself before God, saying sorry, repenting, changing, and growing in all of that. And that's actually the thing that we've got to be learning and doing, is that sort of thing over the long term.
City to City estimate that there are perhaps 3,000 Bible-based, gospel-centered churches in Australia that are plateauing or declining. Just think of the potential impact if those churches could rediscover their mission and purpose and reach out to their communities with the love of Jesus. It's a massive exercise in leadership renewal. If you or your church would like to be part of that, head to citytocityaustralia.org.au and find the Revitalize Australia tab to find out more. Thanks to J.A. Laird for being on the Blunderbus today. If you enjoyed listening to the Blunderbus, you might like to recommend it to a friend. And please subscribe, rate, and review. It helps other people find the podcast and also meets my personal needs for approval and affirmation. Hang on, I think that was a blunder right there. Oh, well, we'll see you next time on the Blunderbus.